Well, please have your Bibles open at Ephesians chapter 2. Picture the scene. There's a young family. They live somewhere down where there's a bit of countryside near them. Maybe a bit like Railway Terrace or somewhere like that. So there's the parents there. There's the children. And the children love to play outdoors. They love to run around and get muddy. And it's really good for them. It's great that they're going outdoors like that. But then one special Saturday arrives. And the parents, they call the children in, they get them all cleaned up, the filth is scrubbed off, and they put on their best clothes. They're going to a wedding, and everyone needs to be as smart as they possibly can be. But the children, they love being outside, and as soon as the parents' back are turned, they slip out, and they go and play in the mud again. What do you think is going to happen to them? Sadly, a lot of Christians can be a lot like these children. They've been born again. They've been cleaned up. But they don't seem to really value or understand their new station in life, their new situation. They don't really understand that they're being dressed and prepared to go to a special place where they get the richest of delicacies. A place where you get to meet the rest of the family, both close and distant. A place of joy and celebration and a wedding feast that will never, ever end. Instead, they either just want to go back to playing in the mud, or they don't realize that the reason that they're being cleaned up is because they've been invited to a feast. Well, this evening, I don't know where all of you are. I don't know whether you're someone who is still playing in the mud and you've never been called in to get cleaned up, or whether you're someone who's been scrubbed clean and you've snuck out the back door and gone back to the mud, or whether you're someone who is ready in the front room waiting to get going, all dressed up in your Sunday best. I don't know where each one of you are, but the Lord knows your heart. So hopefully the Lord will speak to each one of us this evening as we consider the wonderful things here in this passage. Because these few verses that we're looking at, Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 22, it tells us a lot about where we're going. It's telling us about some of the wonderful things that have happened to us now that we are Christians. And these are things that a lot of Christians don't really consider or think about. So it's a wonderful passage for us to prayerfully consider. Because if you're someone who have trusted in him and you're a born-again believer, then this is true of you this evening. This is where you are. So hopefully you will be encouraged as we consider these things. Now, as we look at this passage, the first thing that we've got to remember is with all of Scripture, and especially these books at the back of the New Testament, these doctrinal books, what's going on is that there's these arguments and they're like links in a chain. They all go together. So we need to remind ourselves of what comes before, which is why I asked Sandra to read from verse 11. And we were seeing in this chapter, from the very beginning of it, how all people have started off as dead and enslaved in their sins. But then they become believers, they're made alive in Christ. And then last week we were thinking about how Gentiles, who were not only dead in their sins, but they were also distant from any knowledge of God, how they have been brought near because the requirements of the law were fulfilled on their behalf through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're starting to find out what the end result, the end purpose of all this is. You see, a lot of people, they think that salvation, it's a bit like, you know, someone, you put your trust in Jesus, you get forgiven, and then you get a ticket to heaven, and then you just wait for it. Christianity is so much more than that. There are so many wonderful things that are happening here. And we get an idea of what they are from the passages like the one in front of us this evening. So let's dive into verse 19 and see what we can learn from it. And what we see here is something that is very important for us if we want to grow and develop as Christians. Because when people become Christians, they don't often realize what they're getting themselves in for. Let's think how people become Christians. They're moved by the Holy Spirit. They feel the weight of their sins. And they suddenly have that spark of faith that by trusting in Jesus, they can be forgiven. They repent. They turn around. They reach out in faith to Jesus. And this is just the first step of the journey. Because when someone crosses over from darkness to light, a lot of really interesting things happen. A lot of unexpected things happen. A lot of things that happen that may be a surprise. And when we think about this, we're not talking about bad surprises, like you sign up to something, you realize there's a clause in the small print that you missed, and it's going to cost you a lot more money. It's not that sort of surprise at all. It's like when you go along to a flight over to New York, and they upgrade you to first class. Or it's like when you're going on a holiday, and you go and book this holiday. Oh, it seems a bit expensive. But then you scrimp and save and you get yourself all ready and you plan the excursions you're going to go on and the things you're going to do. You've got all your spending money sorted out. And then you get there and you found out that it was a bit expensive because it was an all-inclusive deal and it's all already paid for. And you can do whatever you want. You've got access to all the facilities of the hotel and all the food is provided. It's that sort of unexpected surprise. Something rich and wonderful and good. When we're Christian, we get all of these added extras. Wonderful, surprising blessings that come our way. And as we look in verse 19, we see one of them being brought out. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. Now, in order to understand this, we've got to remind ourselves that Paul is writing to these Gentiles who once were a long way off. Not only were they dead in their sins like everyone, but they were outside of God's chosen people. They were not allowed into the temple or anything like that. They were foreigners and strangers. But now, things have changed. Not only have they been forgiven, but they have become fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. And this is an incredible, incredible privilege. Today we live in a world where so many people are trying to move from the developing world or places of war to the relative safety of the developed world. And no doubt we've all heard about the huge numbers of people trying to get into Europe. Foreigners, strangers, immigrants. Every immigrant is a person who longs for citizenship in the land of milk and honey, which is basically anywhere where they will be accepted and able to get a decent wage. Whether someone is an economic migrant or a refugee, we cannot vilify people for wanting a better life, especially when we enjoy the benefits of that life ourselves. Christians, either Jew or Gentile, but especially Gentiles, are immigrants that have been welcomed by grace into Christ's kingdom. They have no legal right to enter, but they have been brought in because of God's love. And once they're in, they're not like the unfortunate man we heard about in the news this week who came to the UK and ended up working 50 hours a week down a car wash for no pay and then got rescued. And they're not like that. They're not treated as slaves. They become part of God's household. And to fully grasp the significance of this, we need to understand that in the ancient world, to be part of a ruler's household was an incredible privilege and blessing. We're not talking about being part of any old household. We're not even talking about being part of the royal family. We're talking about being part of God's family. And this gives us incredible status and security and protection and refuge because we know that the head of the household is on our side. And it gives everyone who trusts in Christ access to the family where they belong, where they're cared for, where they're loved. And we live in a world where so many people have so much pain because of family problems. When we put our trust in Jesus, we're forgiven of our sins, but we've become part of God's household, part of his family. And his family, with him as the head, is absolutely spot on. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always there to support us and carry us through, even at the most difficult times. And when we do make mistakes, he forgives us as well. It's wonderful to be a part of his household. Christians are people who have been granted this great privilege of being part of God's household because we are all united together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the added extras that we see here in this passage. Being a citizen of Christ's kingdom, part of God's household, are great blessings. which bring great happiness to us. And at the same time, they also bring certain responsibilities. Each one of us has got a special place, something that the Lord has called us to do. And that's so encouraging, because we live in a world that so easily just writes people off and says that they're useless, or you're only good enough to do this or that, and we don't think much of you because that's all you're doing. But God has got a special place for each one of us. Whatever our ability, whatever our skill, God will never ask us to do something that we cannot do. And everything that we do, if we're doing what he's asked us to do, is valid. It's really appreciated. So it's a wonderful thing to be in that place that the Lord wants you to do. And he calls us to work for him. Ephesians 2 verse 10, early on in this chapter, we read, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Being a part of his household, doing these good works, doing the things that God wants us to do, gives us meaning and purpose in life. It really helps us. And once again, so many people lack meaning and purpose. They just seem to go from day to day, from paycheck to paycheck. You know, maybe with the odd holiday thrown in to relieve the boredom. And they just wonder why they're alive. Why are they doing it all? But when we're part of God's household, part of Christ's kingdom, we're part of something that will last for all eternity, serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he gives us meaning and he gives us purpose. So as Christians, we really do need to be people who serve the Lord. Do you know what it is that the Lord wants you to do? Are you doing everything that is in your power to serve the Lord to the maximum of your ability? Are you seeking to find ways to play your role even better? We should be. We all should be. Because the responsibilities that the Lord gives us because we're part of his household, they're not chores, they're joys, they're enjoyable things. Just imagine this situation. You know, someone is feeling a bit down, he's a little bit poorly, but then he gets a phone call from Accrington Stanley, and he's a lifetime supporter. And they're ringing him up and they're asking him to be a steward at a game. And suddenly his illnesses are sort of shed off and his reluctance is got rid of. He's quite happy to go out there and stand in the rain and endure the cold. And even if the team lose, he's really happy to support the team that he loves. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that we could go into heaven. Surely we owe him a far greater degree of allegiance than anyone owes to a football team that they love. So as Christians, let us enthusiastically embrace our role in Christ's kingdom, in God's household. So that's the first added extra that we see. But as we go on to verses 20 to 22, we see something else as well. It's building on being part of God's household. And it reads, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." We see that God's household is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. And that's so important because that's the only firm ground, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. Now, in ancient days, the cornerstone was not a nice little plaque on the side of the building with a few names on. The cornerstone was a big, heavy block that was put in a perfect place, and the rest of the building was measured off it, and the weight of the building would often rest upon it. And we see that it's there, and the rest of the foundation, the prophets and the apostles, those who are appointed to by God to reveal his word to us. And we see that there in the scriptures, the writings of the prophets and the apostles. This is the only foundation that Christ's kingdom, that God's household is standing upon. The Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he's revealed through the apostles and the prophets. So we're there standing upon this solid ground and we're being built into a building. It's being joined together and it's rising to become a holy temple to the Lord. And This is one of those concepts which may sound very familiar to us, but we don't always understand exactly what it means. And what we have to do is join together a few things that we see in Scripture to really understand this. And as we think about the Holy Temple, what we need to remember is the purpose of the temple. And the temple was the place where God was dwelling with man, where God was meeting with man. It's a major theme throughout the pages of Scripture. The dwelling of God, the place where God meets humanity. In the beginning, we see God planted the garden in Eden as the home for Adam and Eve, the place where he walked among them, where he was dwelling with mankind. We all know what happened there, don't we? We mucked it up and we got cast out of God's presence. But then in the fullness of time, we see God giving instructions to Moses to make a tabernacle, the place where God was dwelling among his people. And for such a holy God to live amongst a group of people with so many sinful problems, there were all sorts of rules and regulations which were there for the protection of the people. And we see a lot of that Old Testament law in the early part of the Bible referring to the issue of having God dwelling amongst his people, all the ways that they had to be holy. And then, of course, the sacrifices that they were making. And these sacrifices were pointing forward to the time when Jesus would make the perfect sacrifice once for all time. After the tabernacle came the temple, and God continued to dwell among his people in the land that he had given them. That is, for a while, up until about Ezekiel 10, where we see the glory departing from the temple because of the idolatry of the people. He was driven out by human sin. Well, after the exile, a couple hundred years, Jesus was born. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John 1, verse 14. God was dwelling among us in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, God incarnate. Well, we know what happened there as well, don't we? The Lord Jesus, he was crucified. But we also know that wasn't the end of the story. It was all part of the plan. And he rose again, and now he's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And now, in the end times that we find ourselves living, God is in the process of constructing his final dwelling among believers. We see that the building, it's joined together and it's rising. It's being added to every time someone trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Another block is being added to this holy temple. And it will only be completed once every person who's going to trust in Jesus is saved. Right now, there's some of us on earth. The rest are in heaven. And who knows how many of them are out there who have not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. This temple is growing and developing and building. Individually, we know from 2 Corinthians 6 that we are all mini temples, dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. But as we look at this, we see that together, all true believers are a holy temple, the dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The temple of the new covenant is the church, the body of Christ, made up of Jew and Gentile, united together by their Savior, the Son of God. This is what the true church is, a spiritual temple in which God dwells. And if you believe in him, you're already a part of that temple. The God is already dwelling in you through his Holy Spirit. How's that for an added extra? Well, obviously, being part of God's temple, just like being part of his household, also brings with it some responsibilities. God is a holy God. So we are expected to reflect his character. We are called to be a holy people. And while we may struggle sometimes to put this into practice, because we are sinners saved by grace, but we're clothed in Christ's righteousness, and he looks at us and sees the completed work, even though we are still a work in process. So we do struggle sometimes to put it into practice, but our desires, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, should be for us to be a holy people, to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commands. And they are God's commands, aren't they? And God commands his people to be a holy people because he is a holy God. And Jesus commands us to be just like him. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. You get a good idea there of how Jesus expects us to live. It means that it should be our ambition to lead good, clean, wholesome lives that set us apart from people living in darkness. We have to remember that God lives in us. We are filled with the Spirit. Therefore, everything that we do, both public and private, says something profound about our spiritual health, about our spiritual awareness. In our opening illustration, why did the children go back to playing in the mud? Because they didn't understand what the wedding was. They didn't understand about the party they had been invited to. They did not understand that they would have a far better time at the wedding than they would playing in the mud. For so many Christians today, they are just like children dressed up in their Sunday best, rolling around on the grass. They do not understand the added extras of their salvation. They do not understand that they are now citizens of Christ's kingdom, part of God's household, part of his temple. Instead, they allow themselves to be distracted by the mud and dirt of this world. They may know more about the TV celebrities than they do about God's word. And they want to spend their time enjoying themselves doing the good things of this world rather than serving the one who loved them and died for them. They have trusted in Christ. They have been forgiven. And now they're just waiting for heaven. If that's you this evening, then I really urge you to look at these added extras of your salvation. They're not chores. These are joys. These are blessings. These are riches which God has given to us today to enjoy now. Wonderful blessings that the Lord has sent our way. Because when we put these things into practice, when we recognize them, then we can really start to advance in growing in our knowledge of the Lord and maturing as Christians. So we need to pray and ponder about these things and apply them to our lives. So that if you feel that your time of usefulness is over, that your existence is just pointless, remember, as a citizen in Christ's kingdom, you have a special task on earth. You haven't been called home yet. So the Lord has still got a job for you to do. If you're feeling lonely, rejected and lost, then there is acceptance and security in Christ's household. If you have given up fighting that battle with personal sin, you feel it's just too much for you. Remember that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit and he can make us holy. So stand up and show a bit of backbone and rejoin the fight. If you ever feel distant from God, we need to remember that we are his temple and he dwells with us. When we trust in Christ, our salvation is far more than just forgiveness from sin and a ticket to heaven. We receive so many added extras. Let us be people who really understand and apply these blessings to our lives so that in word and deed, our lives bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.